Today, we discuss the current state of America given the draconian lockdown orders from many of the nation's governors and what America First truly means. This is World News Brief, America First Edition. You know, I don't know what it is about getting into your 40s, but when the weather changes drastically from one temperature to another, or one state, let's say skies are clear, few clouds in the sky, to storming and torrential rains, like what happens pretty often here in the North Houston area, I just get an incredible splitting headache. I usually do not get headaches, but last night my neck was sore, my head was just pounding, and so I am getting the show out a little late today. That is one of those reasons, because my night last night was not the greatest. That being said, now there aren't any sponsors of this show, specific sponsors, but I will say this. Our family has been using Young Living essential oils for quite some time now, and I was able to use two of their products, their Coolazole Pain Relief Cream and their ImmuPro, which are basically immune-supporting tablets that you chew. They taste good. They've got a little bit of a natural source of melatonin to help you go to sleep. And I'll just say this, the night could have been much worse without that. If you're interested, contact me about that, world@cgmradio.com. But I had this splitting headache. And as I'm just seeing, just the weather changes, just the drastic weather changes here, just, I don't know about you guys, but it just is pounding and pounding. So don't just email me, world@cgmradio.com. If you're interested in Young Living, just put Young Living in the subject line. But if you have questions or comments or prayer requests of anything of that kind, please email me. Also, follow me on Twitter and Facebook at World News CGM. And today, we are talking about not my splitting headache, but we are talking about America First. I know this is World News Brief, but there has just been so much happening in America. It has just been, it's really been revelatory. All that is going on, if you look at the unmasking of General Flynn and all of the names that were released, Spygate. There really is so much news, and even what we're going to be talking about today, which really is, it's really been there since the beginning. It's why America even exists in the first place, and that is our fight for liberty. It is our fight for freedom. I stumbled into, just a few weeks ago, myself and Big Tech Small Biz co-host Justin Parks were up in the Dallas area, and as I've said on the past few broadcasts, we stumbled into this amazing person named Shelley Luther, who really personifies the modern struggle for freedom. Here is a lady that is just, she's fighting for her right to literally keep her business open, a hair salon, far more sanitary than Walmart, Target, or Kroger, fighting to simply keep her business alive. That's what we do. It. That's our, you know, in the 1700s, they were having to fight taxation without representation. King George laying just unjust taxes on the people, amongst other things, which if you read the Declaration of Independence, it clearly lines out. It wasn't just a tax on tea. As I literally heard a pastor tell me from the pulpit many years ago, who was apparently had an angst against America, that it was because of a tax on tea that we went into the Revolutionary War. Bro, you need to read the Declaration of Independence. And no, that was the last time I went to that church. The dude, I think, had plenty of other problems beyond that. But that is our fight. Our fight today is mainly and primarily, and not that they are not attacking our Second Amendment, which they are in different places, but really it's the right to assemble, it's the right to worship, it's the right to not be denied life, liberty, or property without due process. Shelley Luther, her situation really represents that. And again, I encourage you to check out my interview with her from a few weeks ago. I interviewed her before she was on Hannity and Tucker and all these guys. If you can imagine that, Justin and I really just grateful to him for videoing the thing for me. But we really just kind of landed into this, and I'm so grateful for it, because it was really amazing just being next to her and the passion and the energy she felt, not just for her business, but for the thousands and thousands of businesses across the USA that are being shut down. I mean, are we talking women's rights? Do we care about women's rights to own businesses just like men? I don't know. I think it all has to do with whenever it's politically convenient, we want to give women the right to vote. We want to give blacks the right to vote. We want to give anybody any kind of rights. We want immigrants to be able to just flood into this country unchecked. Really, do you think if they had millions of white evangelical Christian Trump supporting dudes at the border, you think they would just be as open borders? No. It all comes down to politics. But where the America First agenda cuts through all of that is that we're simply concerned about protecting our constitutional freedoms as founded. And we're going to get into more of that later. So what I've done at cgmradio.com is there's now a blog section. I encourage you to check it out. All of the news articles that I discuss in this show, yes, will be in the show notes, but in the show notes, there's just going to be a link to my recent blog post, which is on the same subject that I'm going to be talking about right now, which is liberty has been under assault in an unprecedented way since the founding of our nation. And really, the question is, how are we responding? How do we compare that generation to this generation? And what are we going to do as a nation and as a people going forward? You know, I appreciate the many listeners that I have from out of the country. And I, you know, if you're listening to this, you do not live in the USA. Just know that the American struggle for freedom is the same struggle for freedom around the world. And it's likely that if you're listening to this from another country, you're experiencing that same struggle as well. And why American freedom is so important is that we act as a pioneer, as cover for other nations. You know, it wasn't until we recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital, when we moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, that gave other countries cover. And in the same way, if America can be free and it can stay free and it can expand its freedom, then other nations, other smaller, perhaps less influential nations, can ride on those coattails to freedom themselves. This became particularly clear to me. I used to be in the highway safety products industry, and there were some guys from Australia. They were part of this company that we bought and distributed products from. You know, they worked for the Department of Transportation for Australia. And I remember one of the guys saying to me that, like, yeah, we look to America for leadership on these things. Like, we really need, like, America. We need America to get this down, this standard, this process, this particular product, a way of doing things down, because we look to them for that, and we rely on them for that. And of course, that's something as simple as like highway guardrail. But I think it's a very small microcosm of something far, far greater. So if you're listening to this and you're from out of the country, you're not in the USA, thank you for listening. Maybe this to you is an important or an interesting show about world news going on outside of your country. I hope you find it relevant. I hope you find it encouraging because, again, the American struggle for freedom is really no different than the struggle for freedom that millions, hundreds of millions, really billions of people who face religious discrimination and do not have religious freedom face all across the world. So let's talk America first. America first in an age of lock me up. There is a meme that my wife saw and sent it over to me because she thought I would like it. Of course, maybe the only good now there's you know, I see good things coming out of this COVID lockdown all the time. What the devil intends for evil, God intends for good. And so, like Joseph in Genesis chapter 50 so famously said, so I'm not going to sit here and pretend it's all bad. No, God uses all of this for good. But perhaps one of the better things are all of the great memes that we've seen go around. I really wasn't a big meme guy myself, but boy, there are some great COVID ones. And my wife sent me one, and it's a picture of Patrick Henry from 1775, and it says this, "Give me liberty or give me death." Unless there's a virus with a 99% recovery rate, in which case strip me of my freedoms, my job, my constitutional rights, and put me under house arrest. I think that satire meme, based on Patrick Henry's legendary quote, perfectly sums up where Americans were 246 years ago when these timeless words were first spoken, and where we are now. I'm sorry, 245 years ago. What's troubling to think is that the simplest threat of a pandemic, pushed by those at the highest levels of our healthcare institutions and promulgated mercilessly by a compliant, obedient media, immediately elicits a complete surrender of personal liberties from tens of millions of Americans without any questions about the science or models used, without concerns about ulterior motives from those dictating our house arrest of any kind, and without a smidgen of fear of our First Amendment rights being eviscerated before our very American eyes without due process. And then, while bracing their phones, snuggled up in their jammies on the couch, they will essentially call you a murderer for questioning the healthcare gods that are enforcing their draconian will over the people. To quote the brilliant intro to the Lord of the Rings movie series, however, quote, "But there were some who resisted." More on that in just a second. All right, ponder it for a moment, if you will. While many of us may know someone or perhaps multiple people who have been infected with coronavirus or perhaps even died from it, what we do not see, as was the original concern per the thoroughly debunked Imperial College model, is millions of people dying from it. And isn't it ironic that it's called the Imperial College model? And we've seen unprecedented Imperial-like behavior here in the U.S. What we see is perhaps a much more severe flu. Now, notice that I said perhaps. So perhaps what we've seen is a much more severe flu and have shut down the U.S. economy, except for the big box Democrat donor stores, of course, destroying thousands of small businesses and leaving tens of millions of Americans out of work. According to today's report in the Wall Street Journal, quote, an additional 3 million workers in the U.S. applied for unemployment benefits last week, continuing a two-month trend of historically high claims. About 36.5 million Americans have filed applications in the past 8 weeks. This is a Great Depression. And this is the flu. It has not cost, quote, over 85,000 jobs and, quote, millions of lives, according to a current candidate for president. Let's try this again. How many, quote, recorded deaths in the U.S. so far? According to Johns Hopkins University, as of this podcast, May 15th, 2020, the U.S. has suffered 86,386 deaths from the virus. That is, of course, if you believe those numbers. I do not, and I don't, because of the reasons listed in the show notes of this podcast or at cgmradio.com/world, where you can get this podcast and all of the previous podcasts. Even if we believe the current numbers, and notice I use the highly charged, religiously affiliated word believe, this is still not even the Spanish flu, killing an estimated 675,000 Americans and tens of millions worldwide. And it's certainly not the Black Death, killing an estimated 1 in 3 of its poor European victims. Yes, I understand that at some point, such as when 1 in 3 are dying from a plague or a foreign country is literally invading our nation, threatening our very existence, that life cannot go on as normal. Constitutional rights may be suspended to some extent under severe circumstances because the existence of the very country that guarantees those rights may about to be destroyed. But this is not that time. This is not the Black Death. This is not even the Spanish flu. Consider a recent study from Spain that reports that those with an essential profession were less affected by COVID-19 than those who stayed home. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you heard that right. Those in Spain who self-isolated were at a higher risk of COVID than those who worked. Huh. Or consider another study that just came out of Germany that showed that, quote, so far, not a single person with no previous illness has died of the virus in Hamburg. All those who have been examined so far have died of cancer, a chronic lung disease, were heavy smokers or heavily obese, suffered from diabetes, or had a cardiovascular disease. They all, in the study that just came out of Germany, had underlying conditions, major underlying conditions. Or consider the fact that the WHO, who triggered this world lockdown by its grossly fraudulent prediction of a 3.4% death rate, is now saying that the now most vilified nation on Earth, Sweden, may actually be used as an example going forward. Michael Ryan stated that, quote, to reach a new normal, in many ways, Sweden represents a future model. Now, let me say that again. WHO Representative Michael Ryan said that, quote, to reach a new normal, in many ways, Sweden, which was a socialist utopia just a couple months ago, but has been vilified ever since, that Sweden in many ways represents a future model. This was the same guy who, if you remember, not too long ago, and as I reported about previously on this show, was actually talking about going into people's homes and dragging them out of the house of their houses, of course, in a very humane way, and locking them up in a quarantine facility to keep them safe for their own good. Remember, it's always to keep you safe for your own good. Now, here's my point. Even if this was the Spanish flu, killing literally hundreds of thousands of Americans, which would be an unspeakable tragedy that should be fought against utilizing all available public and private resources. But even if it was that, it would not give the U.S. or any state, county, or local government the right to take away our ability to earn a living, peacefully assemble, or worse yet, deny my right to religious freedom. But there were some who resisted. The Washington Examiner reports, quote, California Church United, a network of 3,000 California churches representing 2.5 million members, announced it plans to open May 31st instead of waiting until the state implements phase three, which includes allowing modified reopening of houses of worship. Many churches are reopening nationwide on May 31st, a date specifically chosen because it falls on the day of Pentecost, a significant date on the Christian calendar. Some plan to open Sunday, May 10th. That, ladies and gentlemen, is good news. That gives me hope for a thoroughly blue California that has for years been literally creating its own noose by which to hang itself upon. I think we're seeing a shift, and dare I say a red wave, and I don't think it's necessarily any accident that churches are reopening on the day of Pentecost, which if you read the book of Acts, chapter 2, was really what most Christians consider the birthday of the church, when the Holy Spirit, filled people from time to time, prophets of Israel, kings of Israel, the Holy Spirit was not available to everybody yet. Even after Jesus died and rose from the dead, he was not open to everybody yet. It was 50 days after his death on the cross on Passover that on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit came to everybody who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as the Son of God would be saved and would be given the gift of the Holy Spirit. I believe revival is coming to this nation. I believe God is doing a work. And what I think God likes to do is he likes to pick the most unlikely places and start a work there. I'm not saying that's what's happening. I don't have any kind of prophetic insight, but wow, when I saw this, hope filled in my heart, and I hope it does for you, and I hope it encourages you to pray for America, or if you're listening from out of the country, pray for your nation, pray for revival in your nation. That is truly, truly glorious. I'm loving to see 3,000 California churches. Also in California, quote, a growing number of sheriffs have also said they will not enforce the state or local orders. Come on! Yes! The latest is Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco. His remarks before the County Board of Supervisors this week, recorded on video, have since gone viral on social media. Yes, Sheriff Bianco, thank you, thank you, thank you. The sheriffs are our last line of defense against tyranny. They are the highest authority in their counties. They have the ability to, on legal footing, stand up to those attempting to enforce tyranny. As a family member reminded me of this week, take careful consideration who you vote for sheriff. They must be freedom-loving, constitution-loving, law-abiding individuals. In Michigan, Breitbart News reports, quote, barbers and haircutters will be protesting on the Capitol lawn in Michigan on Wednesday, saying they want to go back to work safely. Quote, Operation Haircut will take place from noon to 3 p.m., organizers said. Michigan small business owners are patriotic and law-abiding citizens. But maybe that's why Governor Whitmer does not like them. But enough is enough. Our governor's actions show every day that this is no longer about the China virus. Her actions show this is now about a progressive, radical agenda. Marion Sheridan, a co-founder of the Michigan Conservative Coalition, said in a news release, quote, dope shops are open, abortion mills churn on, but barbershops are somehow unsafe. Show us that science, Governor. Yeah, show us that science, Governor. That I can go to Walmart and touch the same thing 50,000 other people have touched, and I'm safe, but I can't go into an extremely sanitary hair salon. And who owns hair salons, by and large, especially independent ones, most of the time? Who, Governor Whitmer? Yes, women. Women do. You say you're for women's rights, but who you promote essentially the men who are in charge of all the big box stores. Most of those are run by men. The execs, the owners, men. You're all about them staying in business, but the ladies who are running small businesses, who are just day to day trying to keep the doors open and food on the table, you're wanting to shut them down. Pray for her. I don't know. I'm optimistic because I think this is going to be her downfall. This is going to be her downfall. She's letting her true colors shine through. And I don't think the people of Michigan are liking it one bit. In Pennsylvania, Breitbart News reports that, I'm having a hard time saying Breitbart today. In Pennsylvania, Breitbart News reports that, quote, demonstrators are gathering in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania on Friday to protest what many have described as Governor Tom Wolf's, quote, draconian lockdown orders preventing several counties from reopening their economies. Wolf has come under fire this week after threatening counties and businesses that have weighed reopening without his permission. How dare they? How dare they defy his royal imperial decree? 13 counties, in addition to 24 last week, have been permitted to move into the yellow phase of reopening, which loosens restrictions, allowing for some non-essential businesses to operate at a limited capacity and people to meet in groups of up to 25. However, even under the yellow phase, restaurants and bars are limited to takeout and delivery, and gyms and salons must remain closed. While Wolf is expected to announce the next batch of counties that can move forward from the red phase, several remain in the most restrictive stage, which only permits life essential businesses to operate. Some counties have considered moving ahead without the governor's permission, a move Wolf referred to as a, quote, cowardly act. Everything is upside down. Somehow, moving forward with opening businesses and fighting tyranny is cowardice. You do not obey my royal decree, then you are a coward. That is what you would call demonic logic, ladies and gentlemen. Remember the book of James talks the wisdom of God is pure and it's peaceful and reasonable, full of mercy and good fruit. To call something such as that a cowardly act is certainly not the wisdom of God. And get this, anybody liking this guy a bit more these days? Quote, Elon Musk says he will move his Tesla plant to Texas or Nevada. Come on, bring it down to Texas. We'll take it. To Texas or Nevada after the county health official closed his plant due to coronavirus, reports the Gateway Pundit. Elon said in several tweets that, quote, Tesla is filing a lawsuit against Alameda County immediately. The unelected and ignorant interim health officer of Alameda is acting contrary to the governor, the president, our constitutional freedoms, and just plain common sense. And quote, frankly, this is the final straw. Tesla will now move its headquarters and future programs to Texas/Nevada immediately. If we even retain Fremont manufacturing activity at all, it will depend on how Tesla is treated in the future. Tesla is the last car maker left in California. Wouldn't that be something? California is so bad that it cannot even keep the, quote, renewable energy one of all the car manufacturers. Wouldn't that be just a crazy irony that California, which is supposed to be this bastion of love of renewable energy, is so bad that it drives out Tesla, no pun intended. In Wisconsin, Just the News reports, quote, the Supreme Court of Wisconsin on Wednesday ruled that the administration of Governor Tony Evers overstepped its authority in extending the state's stay-at-home order until the end of May, the first instance of a court striking down a coronavirus-related lockdown policy. The court ruled that Andrea Palm, the Secretary of the state's Health and Human Services, had violated state law when she extended the order to May 26. Chief Justice Patience Rogensack said in the ruling that Palm's order was unenforceable because Palm did not follow the proper legal protocols in implementing it. Quote, because Palm did not follow the law in creating Order 28, there can be no criminal penalties for violations of her order, Rogensack wrote for the court, further arguing that Palm's directive, quote, confining all people to their homes, forbidding travel, and closing businesses exceeded the statutory authority under state law. Duh. This is why elections matter. Elections matter in large part because judges matter. Judges. What is perhaps the single most important reason why Trump had to be reelected, that we were done for, essentially, as a nation? It was the judges. You've got to have judges that uphold the rule of law, that uphold the Constitution. If you do not have that, you're done as a nation. If your judges simply just go with whatever left-wing talking points coming out of CNN and MSNBC that evening, we're done for as a nation, especially if you're talking about things that have been the pillars of Western jurisprudence, such as innocent until proven guilty. Remember Kavanaugh? Innocent until proven guilty. Even judges, many judges don't believe that. Elections matter. You've got to have the judges. So that is great news coming out of Wisconsin that the Supreme Court overruled. The sad thing, it was a 3-4 decision overturning that, or 4-3 decision overturning that. I mean, really? Woo! Yeah, you overstepped your authority. Of course you did. I mean, these tyrants just can't fathom that people don't want to just immediately fall down and worship them as they're giving their decrees, their royal edicts. This is the United States of America. We don't apologize to our elected officials like that horrific judge, Judge Moyet in Dallas County, wanted Shelley Luther to do to avoid jail time, bow down before us, kiss our rear ends, and we'll let you go free. Bow down and worship us, and we'll save you from the fiery furnace. No, this is the United States. If anything, you elected officials, you tyrants, apologize to us. But I will say this. I think, and I hinted on this earlier, perhaps the most encouraging to me out of all of these stories is that you have 3,000 California pastors, church leaders, representing some 2.5 million people, are standing up to the tyrannical left and rejecting their grossly, grossly unconstitutional overreach by not allowing believers to assemble together as the scripture mandates. Where does the scripture mandate that? You may ask. Quote, Hebrews 10, 24 to 25, and I quote, "And do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the days drawing near." Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. We'll say that is one of our quotes of the week. Remember, when this was written, they did not have TV. Might be surprised by that, but they also didn't have the internet, and they didn't even have Facebook Live in the first century AD. There was not some implication that this could be done in each other's virtual presence. That would never have been conceived in the mind of the author. When this was written, this is saying, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Like in person, like you are physically close to one another, okay? and that is what these tyrannical governors are stopping us from doing. They're essentially telling believers, you bow down before the great golden image of Nebuchadnezzar, or else. And to that, let all the church say, no, no, we're not doing that. And in full disclosure, I've never obeyed that, even when that was the law in Texas. Because that's tyranny. And to obey that law is to disobey this scripture. How did I do that? How did I still assemble together with other believers, even though I wasn't able to go to a building because all the church buildings were shut down? We did a little thing called house church, which is actually in the scriptures, which is a very viable option for believers. And I'm not ashamed to say that I did that. I'm not ashamed to say, and I'm actually quite blessed that I was surrounded by friends and family that wanted to do the same thing. So what I just shared, all those things that I shared, really aren't the only pieces of good news that are unfolding before us. Because whenever people stand up for tyranny, whether it's in the against tyranny, whether it's in the United States, whether it's in Iran, whether it's in Hong Kong or Beijing, or you name it, around the world where tyranny needs to be stood up to, which is most places in the world, sadly, that is good news. But check out this very, very interesting piece that really surprised me. I was shocked by this, and you probably will be too, unless you've already seen it. And if you have already seen it, then you were probably shocked when you first saw it. But a Real Clear Opinion research poll shows that 40% of parents are more likely to homeschool after the lockdown ends, and 64% support school choice. The poll states, quote, "A Real Clear Opinion research survey of 2,122 registered voters shows that support for educational choice is strong, and that a significant portion of parents are more likely to pursue homeschooling opportunities after the lockdowns end. The results show that 40% of families are more likely to homeschool or virtual school after lockdowns, and that 64% support school choice and 69% support the Federal Education Freedom Scholarships proposal." So it's well beyond the purview of this show to tell you how to educate your children. But what's important about this poll is that it shows an overwhelming majority care about choice for their children's education. 64%. Now, you know, if 64% vote for you, you win. That's a landslide. 64% support school choice. That is huge. there were some who resisted. Also today, in a Rose Garden ceremony, President Trump unequivocally stated, quote, vaccine or no vaccine, we're back. And thank God for President Trump's leadership, that even though he is surrounded by those who want to keep America under lock and key, who want to keep everybody in America under house arrest, he's fighting to reopen and encouraging a reopening of the country. And I'm grateful, very grateful to that. And even though some places, such as Los Angeles County, are extending their, quote, safer at home orders, which really is newspeak for house arrest, now through August, a yearning for freedom still seems to exist in the USA, and I believe will be victorious over the powers of tyranny. Give me liberty, or give me death. America first does not mean, quote, to heck with the rest of the world. America first simply means preserving our constitutional rights in the ingenious system by which our country was founded upon. Of course, we've had major societal issues such as slavery we've had to reverse along the way, which, by the way, our constitutional process allowed us to remedy. And by the way, find me one nation that has never had slavery in its history, and I'll find you a nation that was founded in the 20th century. Of course, our country is far from perfect. Of course, we need to be constantly, quote, progressing toward a nation that honors God. But are our freedoms worth defending? Are they, dare I say, worth fighting for? Dying for. It is in vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war is actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? If life is so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery, forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty, or give me death. Patrick Henry, 1775. And that will do it for this America First edition of World News Brief by CGM Radio. Be sure to visit us online, cgmradio.com/world. The link to the blog post by which this show is based on will be on that page and in the show notes of this podcast. Follow me online at World News CGM on Facebook and Twitter. And again, you can email me world@cgmradio.com. Stay strong, stay praying and faithful to the Lord Jesus, and we'll see you all right here again next week.